and things. It's one of the nice images of Anicca, the teachings on change, on arayot, transience, eriot, erayut. That you just sit at home minding your own business and the house gets dirty. How did that happen? I'm just doing nothing. The house gets dirty. You have to clean it again and again and again. I'm doing nothing. The mind gets dirty. I have to clean that as well. Oh, yeah. Too many thoughts, too much issues, too many business, too much troubles. This is samsara. This is life. This is... to give instructions invite you for a moment to put yourself in my shoes. Imagine you were sitting here. What would you say? Everybody here has a different experience. Everybody here is a different stage in their practice. Everybody here is only here for a weekend. Everybody here has got a different issue that they're bugging, that's bugging them and that they're working with. So what would you do if you were sitting here having to give instructions? Invitation. You're welcome. I'm happy to swap. No problem whatsoever. I'm fine to be there, right at the back of the hall. No problem. So anyway, just to be aware that the instructions this morning are somehow general, taking into account we have here people who have been practicing 20, 30 years, and we have been here in the hall people who have just done one weekend, and this is all pretty new. So bearing in mind we only have one day, very short weekend, and we have one day here to practice together, during which there's lunch and rest and other things. But still you go home. And so there is, in a sense, I also want to give you some guidance that will be useful to you whenever and wherever you practice, when you go home as well. So bear that in mind, and what you pick up, take with you, and what's not relevant, just let it go. Okay? So I really think a basis, and I've said this before and I want to keep emphasizing it, that the basis of meditation is actually moving to a place where we acknowledge that we're alive. It's moving to a place which is very basic, and yet we forget it. Because we're full of issues, and we're full of story, and we're full of mind, and we're full of problems, and what I need to do with my life, and what I have to solve, and what's needed, and so on. So we're full. And we forget something very, very basic, which is our existence. So underneath what I have to do, called technique of meditation or technique of practice, underneath there is moving ourselves to a place where we give more importance to just being alive, existence, which we forget. So I ask you, do you exist? Anyone here doesn't exist? Do you exist? Yeah, of course. How do you know you exist? How do you know that? So it's a place that you could say it's underneath the meditation technique or the practices that we do, we are moving to a place of awareness that is existential. And if we are give more attention to that place, we will give less, we will be less controlled by the issues that tend to bug our life. And we will be more alive and free, because that place of existence is basically free. It's aliveness. It doesn't matter what we are, who we are, what our problems are, what our diseases are, what our age is. It doesn't matter. So there's a place of freedom which is very existential. So I recommend here and at home, starting every meditation practice with just something very, very simple, like, here I am, breathing, sitting, aware, existing, alive. What's wrong? Nothing is wrong. Nothing is wrong with existence. Nothing. Existence is perfect. Our stories about existence, but existence itself has got a problem? Is there a problem with existence? Is there a problem with just being aware? There's a cat outside. It was lying on the path when I was walking here. The cat decided this was the perfect place just to go like this. Nothing, anything wrong? No. Can we be like the cat? Alavai. Wherever we are, middle of Diesengorf, lie down on the ground. So I do want to give you that as a reminder. Whatever your experience is, even the meditation that you do is full of thoughts and issues and inyan and stuff. But don't forget something very basic, which is aliveness. Okay? Achnu kayamim v'yodim shelam v'kayamim. And you can start right there, and there's a joy in that. So it's really starting meditation with a place of joy, of coming home. And every time you get lost, and every time you don't know, and every time you're full of thoughts, keep coming back. Come home again. So on top of that, with that, we do need some curiosity, some sense of real interest. And I think that interest is partly why you're all here, why we're here together. It's not just I'm here to solve problem of relationship that I have with my partner. It's not that. It may be that as well, but there's something underneath that is pulling us here to say, yeah, I need to look at myself. I need to see my life. So that curiosity is really important. Da'atzmecha or atzmech. Very fundamental teaching in every path, in every religion, in every, you know, who am I? So that's not an intellectual. In the Dharma, we're not going into the intellectual world, analytic world, conceptual world. It's much more a direct curiosity about what is happening and who am I right now, or what's happening to me right now. I'm looking at it directly. So this means, and it's important also for our practice at home, that everything that happens, everything that we experience, can be very disturbing, can be very stupid, busy mind thoughts about to-do lists that bugging my mind. It doesn't matter what, but still it's all raw material, chomer gelim, for da'atzmi. It's all chomer gelim. Whatever arises is chomer gelim, is raw material, is stuff that we, an invitation to look at who we are, how we are, and what's happening to us. So everything we experience, we actually need to say, welcome, Baruch Haba, welcome, who are you? Can be the stupidest thought, can be the highest realization. Welcome, I'm looking at you. I'm with you. So in this retreat here, it can be many things. It can be stupid things. You know, there's nothing really stupid. But shall we say, something disturbs us. The person I share a room with in Ein Dor does what opened the air conditioning and I want it closed. Disaster. Major catastrophe. Wait a minute. Is it a major catastrophe or is it something I need to look at as chomer gelim, something that I am going through that's worth looking at? Disturbing. What is disturbance? Who is being disturbed? What is happening when I am disturbed by something? What actually is happening and who is disturbed? That's the sense of raw material. What are the voices that are talking inside me? What's happening? What are the voices in me that are calling me? And it goes all the way, this sense of being curious about us, ourselves, about our mind, body and heart, goes all the way. Where is the love? Question. Is there love? Do I love my hands? If not, why not? What's wrong with my hands? They're fine. But love them. They do a beautiful job. Love your eyes. We just had breakfast. Kol hamarechet ikul in this room are busy. Nachon? We're all digesting our breakfast. Yofi, trust it, love our body, love our existence. Be with what arises, whatever arises, with curiosity, with interest, with appreciation. So if there isn't a special theme in this retreat, but we have shown an interest, Michal and myself, in one aspect of the Dharma teaching which is worth just raising here, which is an interest in, you would call it, the two sides of an experience. Which is the knower and the known. So the known is what we normally know, our experience outside. The knower is the one inside. So again, it's part of Da'atma Chai. But to make it simple, what I would invite all of you in this day, at home, in your practice, in your life, when you get in the car and you go to work, when you're sitting in front of the computer, doesn't matter, to keep developing the place of the witness, ha'ed, edut, the witness, the knower. It's not something very mysterious, cosmic, metaphysical, blah, blah. It's the sense that there is a knowing, a knower here. There is awareness. And it's something that can grow in our life. So the simplest way of describing it is this mind of the witness, ha-ed-edut. So we know what's going on. We get on a bus in Tel Aviv. We know we're getting on the bus. There is a witness mind inside us that says, I'm on the bus. We see the bus driver, we see the passengers, we see... But there's a sense that constant witnessing, awareness. That's instead of tayas automati. And you can call it presence. And it grows and grows and grows as the more we practice, it just keeps growing. Nochachut, witnessing. So it's a reminder in this retreat not just to be busy with the known objektim, but also with the knower. And final general point, and I'm going to go to a specific. Here and in at home, we need to understand the wise effort. Ma'amatz ha-nachon, what is that? And once the Buddha was asked, how do you cross the flood of samsara, of ordinary painful struggle, existence. And the Buddha said, I cross the flood by not stopping and not struggling. So the question was to the Buddha, well, how did you do that? What does that mean? The Buddha said, if I stopped, I sunk under the water, and if I struggled, I got swept away. By not stopping and not struggling, I crossed the flood. So there is a place there of wise effort, which again I think we can really use in our life. Wise effort is not stopping, but not fighting. And we can practice it here. Yeah, I'm right here. I don't struggle against my thoughts and my mind and fighting. I have to get rid of this and stop that and get it and fight that and struggle that. But also I'm not just giving up and just letting everything just sort of just do nothing and sit around. And there is an engagement, but I'm not pushing against resistance. Because any resistance is we are doing it. We don't need to create resistance and then fight it. So it's not struggling, not stopping. That's wise effort. The nice quote from one liner from Osho, who said one time, why be a hero when you can be a zero? We don't need to be Dharma heroes here, Buddhist heroes, but we do need to keep going. And if we do keep going in this way, wise effort is keeping going without being a hero. But yes, keep going. So in more in the details, today and in our practice at home also, body is the main focus. And really two reasons. One is that we forget our body, usually, unless it hurts. And then we remember our body until we take a pill to stop it hurting, and then we can forget the body again. So the body is our, if you like, territory of exploration, and it's the easiest place for us to practice being aware. Because the body is always telling us about the present. You can't breathe in the future. can only breathe in the now. So the body is telling us, is helping us to be in the now and in the here and now. And it's the easiest place to wake up to the present experience and the present existence and being a witness. So the body is the main place. If we're sitting at home with a crazy mind, going mad, go back to the belly, go back to the sitting weight of the body, go back to the touch of the hands, somewhere that brings us back down, and we start again. So the body is the anchor, the base, the ground, and we keep going there. Then at the same, then what happens after that is that we may be pulled by an impression, thoughts, feelings. The body may say something like, my back is hurting, and we go there. We can open our experience to what arises. Okay. So we can open our experience to thought. What's going on through the mind? What stuff is passing by? Thought tends to take us away. When we feel us, when we are taken away, it steals our attention. If we feel we are lost in thought, we get off. We step out. But we can know thought. It's like we step out of thought to be a witness of thought. We can know thought. We can sometimes give it a label, especially if it's intense, like judgment, 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 or to-do list, to-do list, planning, or fear, afraid thoughts, dagot. Give them a label, if possible. So we're just aware of thought is, we do need to be capable of looking at thought. And sometimes the thought, we just relate to thought as clouds in the sky, passing by, and that's great. Thought is often like a train. If we get on the train, it just takes us away. And we only wake up when we suddenly realize we arrived in Haifa. How did I get here? The whole 40 minutes meditation, we're gone. So if we are feeling that thoughts take us away, then we get off the train at the next station. As soon as we can, we get off the train, come back to the body. Sometimes thoughts are like kind of Indian trains. Wow, that's another story. Full of dramas and sadhus and little kids and garam chai, garam chai, chai garam, chai garam. And we really want to know what's going on in this in Indian trains full of drama. And so sometimes we really want to look at that, at the thought and the mind, and face it. But all again, only if we can actually be a witness, to step out of the movie in order to see the movie. If we're again back in the movie and just acting the movie, we don't even know we're thinking. We're just in it, in the story. So we step out. So this can happen thousands of times, hundreds of times. We step in, we step out. It takes us away, we step out. Then we look at it, and then it takes us. Then it's more distant in the background. It's a dynamic world of thought and of mind. Don't worry about it, because slowly, slowly, as we practice, we engage with the mind more and more. And then the mind slowly, slowly loses its power to take over. And over a long period of practice, I can promise you, But if we don't give thought authority over us, total authority, we learn to step out of thought, it gets quieter. Because we no longer give it the power to dominate all our existence. If we don't give thought the power, the authority, the belief, but we actually step out and see thought, it just says, oh, well, you don't need me anymore. I'm not so useful anymore. Okay, I'll shut up. We can have pleasant and unpleasant experiences here. And we can experience boredom and pain, body pain, heart pain, pleasant, unpleasant, we should be aware of that. We can experience restlessness, we can experience anger, everything will be here. This hall here is like the whole of human society and the whole of human experience is happening right here. The whole lot. I do think something that I heard from the, I don't know exactly where, but from the, maybe it's from MBSR teaching or maybe it's from books, or, which I do like and I want to pass to you, which you maybe know already, which is the heading RAIN, R-A-I-N, which is quite a nice summary, so easy for us to remember, especially when we have difficult experiences that come up that we think, oh, I can't meditate because I'm tired, sleepy. No, sleepiness is now becomes the raw material. Come again, not a problem, but that's the experience that needs, it's a voice. I need to look at it. Restlessness, I can't meditate, I have to get up and have a cup of coffee now. No, wait a minute, it's restlessness. Come again, I'm with it. Oh, I must look at WhatsApp. Definitely, WhatsApp needs me right now. No, that's Chomagelin. That's something to look at. So RAIN, the first thing is to recognize, R. Recognize. To recognize that what the issue is. So if it's jumping up to look at what's up, it's restlessness, agitation, isheket, or feeling something missing. Recognize it. Pain in the back, pain in the body, recognize, oh, okay, unpleasant experiences in the body. Whatever it is. Worry, recognize. Ah, it's worry, concern, daga. A, accept or allow. I prefer the word allow, because accept, Kabbalah, lekabel, it's a little bit putting us under pressure. So a word I prefer for A would be allow. Ma'afsher, ifshur. It's like things are what they are. So instead of fighting something that comes up, I give it space, I allow it to be what it is, I welcome it even. This is what's happening right now. So I open the door, I don't shut the door, I allow, even if it's unpleasant. Okay, you're here, you may be unpleasant guest, oreach lo naim. Not pleasant visitor, like Mas Hakhnasa, or the one going around Tel Aviv giving parking tickets to all the cars. But allow. I rain, the third letter, I, investigate, explore, khakira. Okay, I want to look more closely. What is going on? Inquiry can be, investigate can be inquiry, is another word with I. Check it out. How is this experience? What am I doing with it? If it's like a pain, let me see where it's going, how it's changing. What am I doing with it? And N is a key. It's non-identification, ihizdahut. Our power to step out is so important. Non-identification. It is just a phenomena. It's just tofa'a. It's just something happening. I don't need to identify it. It's not me, 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 me. It's just something that arises and changes and passes. So that's basically the instructions for the day. Is body as a basis, then allowing the seeing what comes up, allowing things to be what they are, non-identifying, and so on. And it's important to keep dropping things. Whatever comes also goes. The thoughts that bug us, we can have worrying thoughts about something that's bugging us, it will only last until the bell rings for lunch. And then it's gone. It will only last as long as it, until it's gone, it finishes, it goes, it changes to something else. Everything is like a river. Our experience is like a river. A very beautiful film I saw last week about the son of Rav Fruman from Tekoa. So there was a film about that he made about his own life. I forget his name. But I saw it in Klil. And there was a beautiful scene where he decided to come out of religious life. So he said to his father that I don't want to keep mitzvot anymore. And his father, who was dying, is lying in the bed. He was dying. But he said to his son, it doesn't matter, because the most important thing, whether you keep mitzvot or you don't keep mitzvot, or even in the mitzvot themselves, the most important thing is zrima. And it's a beautiful thing to say. Here's this old man dying, and he said to his son, zrima, flow. And so this is for us a good teaching. Things go, let them go. Thought comes, a thought goes, let it go. A feeling comes, a feeling goes, let it go. Let everything go. Every moment is fresh. Every moment is new. Forget about Buddhist teachings of rebirth. Right now, experiencing rebirth. We are born again in every moment. That's actually the way the Buddha talked about rebirth. We are born again right now. We are born again right now. And now we're born again. And now we're born again. And so a final word. Enjoy moments of grace, chesed, moments of peace. And they're generally moments where we feel connected. So let go of your stuff as much as you can. And feel the connectedness to the trees and to the earth and to each other. And there are moments of grace that we pay attention to. Okay, so it's time for some questions. Anything coming up, welcome. Any questions, especially on the practice, you're really welcome to ask Michal myself until we have 20 minutes. Ken.
What about good feelings or insights? How to do them?
So the question is, what about good feelings and insights? And even more, we need to say welcome, allowing, but at the same time, let them go. So insights, tovanot, are certainly helpful to us and certainly valuable to us, but as soon as we attach ourselves to them, we busy with them, we start saying, oh, I had a great insight, oh, I want to hold on to it, oh, this is really important, I must write it down, I must write it again, I must tell my friends, I must put it on WhatsApp. We lost it. Allow it to come, allow it to go. Certainly we can appreciate insight and say thank you when insight arises, and say thank you when pleasant feelings arise. Let them all go, because it's more important in a way to be reborn again and again and again into this new moment. And then something happens in which we live more with awareness. And we're not depending on an insight, which often is a conceptual insight, but the whole of life has meaning. So allow it, welcome it, thank you very much, blessings on my insights and my joyful feelings, and goodbye. Ken. Yeah, you want to. So I think it's partly a problem of language. Great, thank you. It's partly a problem of language that both in English, inquiry, and in Hebrew, chakira, is used mostly for intellectual inquiry. But here we're looking at something rather different, and the example I gave was a painful experience in the body. In chakira here means experiencing directly without tivuch and without concept and without analysis and without processing, but exploring directly. Imagine that you're swimming under the water. You're in a slila, and you're in a kind of under the ocean, and you're looking, wow, this fish and this fish and this fish is really interesting, it's got colors, and this plant and this, that's the chakira we're talking about, which is looking deeply. So body pain, where is it going? Is it sharp? Is it dull? Is it moving? Is it stopping? Is it making me relate to it? Giving thoughts like, I want it to stop, or I need to go to hospital. What's it doing to us? All of that is very direct. It doesn't need analysis. So that's what I mean, that's what we mean by chakira. Maybe we need another word of inquiry. Maybe you can offer a different language. Like being very, looking very closely and intimately at something rather than thinking about it.
אני חושבת אולי במקום המושג חקירה שבעברית אני לא רואה דרך להתחמק מהבעייתיות שם, הייתי בודקת האם באופן שבו אני פוגשת את מה שעולה, אני סקרנית, והאם אני מוכנה להפתעות. או במילים אחרות, אם אני מרגישה מזהה איזשהו רגש חזק, למשל דאגה, האם הדאגה הזאת עכשיו יכולה להפתיע אותי באיזשהו אופן? לא מה הדאגה הזאת מספרת לי על העבר, או מה היא מספרת לי על מה שכדאי לעשות, אלא האם הדאגה הזאת שהופיעה עכשיו יכולה להפתיע אותי? האם אני יכולה להיות סקרנית כלפי מה שקורה פה? פחות לדעת את התשובות לגבי זה, אלא יותר באמת לבדוק איך אני כשזה עולה. עולה הדאגה, איך זה משפיע עליי? מה זה עושה לתנוחה שלי? מה זה עושה לנשימה שלי? כאשר אני בפעולה, אז מה זה עושה? למשל, אני הרבה פעמים מסתכלת איך הרגש הזה שעלה משפיע על הקצב שבו אני מדברת ועל הקצב שבו אני זזה. רק שני הדברים האלה, רק החקירה הזאת. אני עושה משהו ואני מזהה שעלתה הדאגה או עלה הכעס או עלה הפחד. איך זה משפיע עכשיו על קצב הדיבור שלי ועל קצב התנועה שלי. אני באופן אישי שמה לב שיש רגשות שגורמים לי לזוז הרבה יותר מהר בצורה הרבה פחות מועילה. אם אני נלחצת, אני נוטה ללכת מצד לצד בבית כאילו שזה יפתור משהו. אז חקירה כזאת, אוקיי, שפחות נכנסת לסיפור ופחות שואלת מה קורה פה ואיך מה שקורה פה עכשיו משפיע עליי. ובעיקר המוכנות להיות מופתעת כדבר שסוגר את החקירה, סוגר את העניין, סוגר את הפגישה, זה המחשבה שאנחנו כבר מכירים. מי שפה עדיין בעולמם של הבליינד דייטים יודע שהרבה פעמים בבליינד דייט אנחנו הרבה יותר מקשיבים לבן אדם שפגשנו מאשר אחרי 20 שנה כשכבר בן זוג שלנו ואנחנו מבינים מה הולך להיות. אז בחקירה יש מין הזמנה לדייט. Okay. אני לא חושבת שאני מכירה את עצמי כבר 20 שנה. אני אומרת לעצמי, בואי ניפגש מחדש. כאילו, כנראה איך את עכשיו. אחרי 20 שנה אני דואגת אחרת. Okay? הדאגה ה-800,000 שונה מהדאגה ה-50. אז בחקירה אני מבקשת להיות ערה לשינויים האלה, לדקויות האלה. וזה לא דורש הרבה זמן, כן? Okay? בניגוד למה שאפשר עכשיו, זה באמת משהו שהוא רק כזה attitude כזה. אוקיי, רגע, אני מוכנה לראות איך זה עובד על הידע הזה. איך זה משפיע?
כן.
So, I find the Dharma really helpful in a lot of aspects in my life, but then there's something that bugs me for a lot of years. When you come across pure evil, or when humanity disappoints you really bad, like you read about the kindergarten teacher who's being abusive to children. What can you tell yourself? How can you work with something like
that? So the question was, I've been in the Dharma for some years, but when I meet something really bad in the human action, like a kindergarten teacher that abuses children, how can I or how can the Dharma deal with that? And of course we are going to meet human suffering, human ignorance, human cruelty again and again and again. And from the Dharma point of view, there is no evil in the world. You don't find in all the texts the word evil one time, but you find again and again and again the word ignorance, avidya, not knowing, not seeing. So people do I once read a psychoanalytic book about the life of Hitler. And it turns out that a lot of what Hitler was motivating Hitler was he was trying to show that he was a good boy to his father. And his father was fascist and a very small-minded Pakid in Germany, and he was trying to show he was a good boy by being more than his father. So, you know, he's a human being with incredible, incredible damage that he did and suffering that he caused. But fundamentally based on total ignorance, not able to see. So our response in the higher level, the response to that is compassion. That we feel compassion at human ignorance. We feel the suffering that was created by other people, and it touches our heart, and our heart is moving to compassion. Doesn't mean that in the Buddhist world there's no police. Yes, there is police. There will be police. I hope in the Buddhist world the police will be really kind and attentive, but they will certainly lock up somebody in prison who's causing big damage to other people. There's nothing in the Buddhist world that we have to kind of encourage and allow everything and just sit at home, meditate, and no. But the attitude is also, who are we to say, you know, me, that I'm so good and we are so much better. We share. In a way, all the evil in the world is also here because we are the same mind, the same human being. Hopefully we do better. Hopefully we are kinder. Hopefully we do less damage. But we are not so different. So, and final word about that, I think we do need skill in navigating in life and meeting pain and suffering. Without feeling that we are gods, that we can stop everything and we should be, but just to power to meet pain and suffering and do the best we can to undo suffering. All we can do is the best we can to reduce suffering in the world. And then we have to go home and sleep well at night. We're not God. We can't change the whole existence. There will be ignorance. But what are we doing here? We're trying to kind of be, in a way, undo ignorance. We're trying to reduce ignorance by being aware of who we are. Just now that I heard that there's many, many mindfulness courses that are being taken by the Mysterious Israel. So there's a big program to bring Israel police will go on courses in mindfulness. And it's really a serious program. So I hope that this helps to keep the job. We'll be police, but with kindness and awareness of suffering and awareness of themselves. Here, because that's the basis of everything.
מה שבודה הוא אומר לי, שאנחנו לא בקבוצה העולם.
אבל כן יש את המקומות שבהם אני אומרת, קורה פה משהו, הוא לגמרי לא לעניין, אני מבינה שאני לא יכולה לשלוט בו, אבל אני כן אצא ואשים את השקל שלי, אני כן אצא ואגיד את המילה שאני יכולה להגיד, אני כן אראה איך אני יכולה במקרים כאלה לשמור או להשמיע איזשהו קול שהוא מתמיד. אני חושבת שהייאוש הוא באיזה קטע, כאילו הייאוש יושב על בורות, לא במובן השיפוטי של הדבר. הייאוש יושב על הרגע שבו אני לא באמת רואה שאני חלק מהמערב הזה. כשאני רואה שאני חלק מהמערב הזה, יכולה להיות חמלה, יכול להיות עצב עמוק על זה שככה הדברים, אבל עדיין יש את התנועה שאומרת, בוא נראה מה אני יכולה לעשות. לפעמים זה קטן ולפעמים זה פחות קטן. אני חושבת שכדאי מאוד מאוד לשים לב לייאוש, כי הייאוש הוא הרבה פעמים יושב על איזה רגע של שכחה, של זה שאנחנו באמת כן חלק מהרשת הזאת, אחרת לא נכון אותה. והרשת הזאת יש לו קטעים מקומים, יש לו קטעים מעוותים ויש לו קטעים אימים. אני חלק מהם, אתם מספרים ממנו, ואני חושבת שמשהו כן נתן לי לעשות. כשאני מתחילה לחזור למקום של מה אני יכולה לעשות, איתי זה מרגיע, איתי זה קצת מחזיר למשהו שהוא גדול יותר וחזק.
Speaking to this into the microphone, because as Anashim are hearing.
אז רציתי לשאול על מה שדיברת מקודם, על הסקרנות בנושא של החקירה. ואני מוצאת את עצמי הרבה פעמים מזהה איזשהו רגש שעולה. יודעת אולי לתאג אותו ולתאג את ה... ולשים לב להתבונן בו, לשים לב לתחושות, מה קורה לי, דופק, חום, כל מה שזה אומר. ואני מזהה, אבל המצב עדיין נשאר אותו דבר. זאת אומרת, זה שאני מזהה את זה ומצליחה להתבונן, לא משנה את המצב. ואז כאילו, לפעמים זה אפילו כזה, רגע, אוקיי, מה עכשיו? זיהיתי. התבוננתי, הוא עדיין פה, הוא עדיין פה. אז נכון, לפעמים זה עובר, ולפעמים זה לוקח יותר זמן, ולפעמים ההתבוננות הזאת מרגישה שזה מה שגורם לזה לקחת יותר זמן.
יש אמונה שריטריטים יוצרים בעיות. יש לפעמים צורה של התבוננות שמגדירה סרט. נכון, בודה דיבר על זה, דיבר על רגע מיינדנס. הוא לא הבטיח לנו שכל פעם שנסתכל על מה שהוא עושה לבחת, הוא אומר, דרך מסוימת לשים לב עם דברים, שאם נשים לב אליהם בדרך הזאת, סבב יכול. אני חושבת שהמקומות שבהם אני מסתכלת על משהו והוא נשאר, הם מקומות שאני לא יושבת במקום רק. הם אותם מקומות שתחסתי אליהם אתמול, שבהם אני יושבת בתוך הסטאפ שלי, בתוך הדברים שלי, ומשם כשאני מתבוננת על דברים, מסכנים, אין להם ברירה, הם חייבים להישאר מה שהם. כי אני לא נותנת להם שום אפשרות להיות משוחד. זאת אומרת, אם אני מתבוננת על משהו מטוב, האמונה שהוא יותר מדי או פחות מדי או ירוק מדי, אז אין למסכן הזה ברירה, אלא להיות מה שאני מרחבת. ואותה מקומות שבהם אני מסתכלת על משהו והסבל גודל בשבילי, איזה לזכורת לבדוק רגע במה אני מחזיקה עכשיו, מה באיך שאני מסתכלת לא נותן את דברים לשני. תראות תאמין, אין לי מושג. אם אני שואלת ואני חוזר את הכל, ואני מתאר את הדבר, ואני גם באמונה שאני חוזר את הכל, אז לפעמים אני חוזרת לעצה של סטיבן, ואני מסתכלת מה עוד אני רואה מול העיניים. באמת, באמת, כאיזה דרך לאפשר לקשת להיפתח, לאפשר לעוד דברים להיכנס לתוך התמונה, ומשהו בדבר המרוכז הזה יכול להנהל. לפעמים כדי באמת לחקור מה שאנחנו צריכים, קצת להתרחק ממנו. קצת לראות את הסביבה שבה הוא חל. לפעמים זה ממש התנועה הזאת, שכאילו inquiry, אבל לא עם עיניים מצומצמות וגופים קפוצים, אלא אוקיי, מה הולך? אז הייתי בודקת את המקום הזה. דבר נוסף שהייתי בודקת זה את הזמן. כי כשאנשים אומרים לי, אני סובלת מזה כבר 20 שנה, אני אומרת להם אתם שקרים. אין מצב שאני סובלת מזה בדיוק ככה 20 שנה. זה פשוט לא יכול להיות. זה אומר שאולי לא שמתי לב לאותם רגעים שבהם לא סבלתי מזה. או שלא שמתי לב לרגעים שבהם זה היה משהו אחר. או לאותם רגעים שזה בכלל לא היה על הפרק. זאת אומרת, אין באמת מצב שזה יש שם כל הזמן. המחשבה הזאת, אני חושבת שהיא כדאי לשים לב עליה, כי מסוג המחשבות שאנחנו מספרים לעצמנו, הן לא מועילות. הן לא באמת סובלת מזה 20 שנה. אני סובלת מזה עכשיו. אני סובלת מזה בחצי שעה האחרונה. אבל כשאכלתי אחת בוקר לא סבלתי מזה. זה לא היה גם שם. כלומר, לחפש את המקומות שלא מלאים בסלף הזה, אוקיי? אם אני לא יכולה להיות לגמרי במקום ריק, אז לפחות שאני אהיה ערה לזה שבתוך המקום המלא שלי יש חלק שהוא ריק. אני זוכרת שבתור טינג'רית היה פס אחד ריק בחדר שלי מהדלת למיטה. כל שאר היה ברדק אחד גדול, אבל היה פס הריק. ולפעמים שמתי לב שהחדר שלי ברדק מטורף ויש שם פס. אז אני חושבת שכדאי לראות את המקומות האלה, שהם לא מלאים באישו, שהם לא מלאים במחשבה, שהם לא מלאים בדבר. ואם אי אפשר פשוט לנסות לקחת איזה צעד אחורה מהדבר הזה, או לוותר וללכת לחול על הפסים, לחזור. אבל כן, האמונה שריטריט בכלל ומדיטציה בפרט ומיינדפולנס בעיקר,
Yeah, I just want to add, actually just to what Michal said similarly, I think we have to be, it is a fine line that we need to do, we need to learn the difference. And the difference to my mind is in the rain, R-A-I-N, that we may be doing the R, the recognize, the A, the allowing, the I, the exploring, and we forget the N, the non-identification, ihizdahut. If we step out, and Michal said this, if we step out of something that is going around and around, and we begin to see it as tofa'a sham, Kitsoni tofa'a, tofa'ati, a phenomena that arises and changes and goes, we must slowly, no miyad, we have to have patience, but it must get less and less. Because what makes it stronger is identification. Until what makes it really strong, and it will last our whole life, 20, 30 years or whatever, is if we don't even know it, but we just be it. And it's then automatic. Daga, whatever. We just live it all our life. And that's total not seeing. So seeing it is the first step, and stepping out, non-identification, step out of the story and see it as just a tofa'a, ki'ilu, that comes and goes by itself, and then it must go steadily and slowly because we don't give it authority on us anymore. It's just tofa'a that comes and goes, a phenomena. So it must get weaker and weaker, but we need patience. It takes time. So we'll time for walking and some one-to-ones.